Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shield, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We've been celebrating a number of feasts the last few days, and now today we'll break the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter was the head of the apostles, and Paul was the great apostle to the Gentiles. They have been remembered together on this date since ancient times. Peter started life as Simon, who was a simple fisherman from Bethsaida who worked alongside his brother Andrew, and Jesus changed his name to Cephas, which in Greek is Petros, meaning rock. On this rock I will build my church. Paul had been Saul. Notice the significance of the name change in both cases. Paul had been Saul, a Pharisee, a proud persecutor of Christians. After an encounter with the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, he gave his life to preaching the gospel to pagans throughout Asia Minor. Tradition holds that both men were martyred in Rome. Would that we had Peter's and Paul's rising up today. Perhaps we do, and I just don't know who they are yet. Think of the courage that it took for both those men in very different ways. Think of the courage it took for them to preach the gospel. Do you not think that God wants to use you? Do you not think that God doesn't want to raise up today strong heralds of the gospel? Of course he does. Men and women who have sold their lives, basically sold out for Jesus Christ, in whatever state in life you're in, to be sold out for Jesus Christ. God is looking for men and women who will generously respond. Will you? Can you say, Lord, you have my life. As long as I live, you have my life. You are first. I will do my best to follow you. Come, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, inspire me. Help me to take the next breath for your glory. Help me to do the next act to bring your kingdom more into this world. If we had a few hundred people like that, that radically committed, living daily lives here in this world, it would make a huge difference. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. The readings this week are all calling us to make some very clear decisions. The first reading today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. In those days, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword, and when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It was the feast of unleavened bread. He had him taken into custody and put in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. That's a lot of soldiers to guard one man. He intended to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter thus was being kept in prison. The prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. Notice that? Intercessory prayer, praying for situations. Look at that, right alongside Peter's imprisonment. But there was prayer by the church fervently being made to God on his behalf. Prayer can be spiritual warfare. You can fight the battle with different weapons, but you can fight the battle with prayer. Don't ever, ever discount intercessory prayer for the needs of others. It's something that God gave to all of us to do. Do you do it? Do you intercede for situations? Not just, oh Lord, help them. Do you intercede? Do you come before God and say, God, I stand here on behalf of these people and I pray, either in my own words or through scripture, through the Divine Mercy chaplet, through the rosary. Blessed Mother so wants to help us. Are you spending time in prayer? On the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers while outside the door, guards kept watch on the prison. That's pretty secure. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side, awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Can you imagine? You're half drugged, half asleep. You don't know whether this is a dream or reality. "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him out, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought he was having a dream, a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. He gets you to a safe place, and then he disappears. I'm sure we'd all like to have our angels just stay with us all the time. But God wants us to walk in faith. There are times when he intervenes. There are times when he makes his hand known to us. Blessed be God. But that's not all the time. Then Peter recovered his senses, and he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." So Peter recognizes why this gift was given him. We'll hear more about that later. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. There are all kinds of ways. If you really think back in your life, there are all kinds of ways when something seemed to change so surprisingly fast, or somebody that you thought was going to be really, really arguing you and speaking, opposing you. And all of a sudden, it all just fell to pieces and it wasn't there anymore. Don't you think God had his hand in that? Or do you just attribute that to human decisions? I don't. Not when they're a surprise, not especially when they go against their avowed commitments to whatever. It's God. Pray. Scripture says, pray and never lose heart. In other words, don't be discouraged. Pray. God hears your prayer. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord will rescue those who fear him. And that's the question. Do I trust that? Do I trust that God will take care? Do I trust that God will provide help? The second reading is Paul to Timothy, chapter 4. Verses 6 to 8 and 17 and 18. "I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation. The time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." What a testimony of faith. Could you testify that way? I believe he will rescue me. He has rescued me in many ways. He will rescue me again. He will bring me safe to his heavenly home. If only I am committed to him and follow him and repent when I fail. I don't excuse it. I don't hide it. I repent. You do those things, you'll experience God being with you. Perhaps not in as dramatic a way as Paul, but in some very significant ways. I certainly have experienced them in my own life. Are you obedient to the Lord? That's the question. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus, now he's gonna nail them. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And God asks us that question, brothers and sisters, each of us individually. This is not looking for a corporate response. Who do you say that I am? Are you ready to answer that question? Simon Peter said, reply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Peter, you have been listening to God, who is pleased with the way in which you're following him, and he reveals the truth to you. I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He was looking for Peter, or from Peter, a declaration of faith, and Peter gave it, and he meant it. Then when he got terrified around the time of the crucifixion, he rejected it. I don't know you. I don't know him. He was terrified. He gave in to the fear. But he repented. And he came back to the Lord. And the Lord forgave him. Brothers and sisters, all of us are weak. All of us have problems. Every one of us. Just want to encourage you to allow God to use you. He will use you in your weakness. As long as you stay close to him, as long as you turn to him, as long as you depend on him. Pope Francis has a couple of things to say that refer to this feast. And he says in an article, a homily of some kind. He says, I would like to pay homage to the courage of the apostles and that of the first Christian community. The courage carried forward the work of evangelization, free of the fear of death and martyrdom, within the social context of a pagan empire. Their Christian life is for us, the Christians of today, in the midst of a pagan empire. The Christians of today have a powerful call to prayer, to faith, and to witness. That's what God is asking. A call to faith. How many forces in the course of history have tried and still do to destroy the church from without as well as from within? But they themselves are destroyed and the church remains alive and fruitful. Everything passes, says Pope Francis. Only God remains. Kingdoms, peoples, cultures, nations, ideologies, powers. But the church founded on Christ, notwithstanding our many storms and our many sins, remains ever faithful to the deposit of faith shown in service. For the church does not belong to popes or priests, nor the lay faithful. The church in every moment belongs to Jesus Christ, and only the one who lives in Christ promotes and defends the church by holiness of life. May that, brothers and sisters, be our marching orders in the coming days. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.